This message is brought to you by DoNotAge.org, the longevity research organisation that's on a mission to extend health span for as many people as possible via products that actually work. Start your journey today at DoNotAge.org and use code LAMA for a 10% discount. That's LLAMA.
Checking with yourself. Do you want to be alive tomorrow? The answer is probably not going to change ever. It's always nice to be able to have something to look forward to. Humans thrive on that. And in general, if you have your health, you're going to want to stick around.
Nick Engra is the founder of the Longevity Blog. He's a human guinea pig, a self-experimenter into the interventions that could help us live longer, healthier lives. Hello again, and welcome to the Live Long and Master Aging podcast. I'm Peter Bowes. This is where we explore the science and stories behind human longevity.
It's a very invigorating feeling, particularly when you're coming out of a jet lag scenario. It really helps to wake you up. But beyond that, there's some evidence that shows us things like cold therapy can reduce inflammation in the body. They might help accelerate healing of injuries.
This episode is a co-production with Nick. It's also our first original video podcast, where we dive into the latest science and look at the biohacking ventures that show real promise in helping us optimize our health span. Nick recently joined me for a couple of days in Los Angeles. We spent a fair amount of time geeking out over the latest interventions like cryotherapy, red light therapy, infrared sauna, IV drips, hyperbaric oxygen. We visit the Immunity and Wellness Center Next Health in West Hollywood, where Nick, fresh off the plane from Australia, tries out some of the latest treatments for himself. We made a film about it, which you can watch via YouTube on the Live Long and Master Aging website. Just head to llamapodcast.com. You can also check it out at Nick's longevity blog at nickengra.org. You'll find the link in the show notes. In the meantime, here's an audio flavour of what we got up to. An intense couple of days that for Nick started with an early morning swim in Sydney.
All right, it's 6 a.m. now. It's a cool morning here in Sydney, Australia. And just had to work out to get my body moving, feeling good before I get set in the plane for 14 hours.
And on to Los Angeles, where Nick and I met in the hills to the north of Hollywood for a Sunday morning hike. Good to see you.
You too.
Nick. Nick is the founder of the Longevity Blog, a past guest on the LAMA podcast. And Nick, you really have made it a lifetime mission to experiment, a self-experiment, looking at those lifestyle interventions that could help you live longer and better in pursuit of health span.
Yeah, that's right, Peter. It's a very pet passion of mine that I'm increasingly sharing with others, because I think there's a lot of work we can do as a community to learn how to experiment, find what works, and explore this burgeoning longevity technology space where there's ever more options for keeping us healthy.
And Los Angeles being one of the, I think it's fair to say, one of the global hotspots in terms of certainly biohacking, looking at those interventions and the facilities that this city offers to help you do that.
Absolutely. It's definitely a hotspot. It's that in that way globally. And it's a spot that I get to frequently visit as I travel from Australia and onwards into the rest of the United States. And so I like to experiment with new things while I'm here. Anything from IV drips to build back up my immune system after being on the plane, through to cryotherapy to wake me back up, maybe a sauna in there or a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. All those things you can do to recover after such a big adjustment. I mean, my body is trying to be asleep right now. Peter, how am I doing?
You're doing pretty well. Amazingly well, considering, what was it, a 14-hour flight?
14-hour flight, that's right, Sydney to Los Angeles.
So you're going to pack a lot into a short space. And I guess for most people, biohacking, using cryotherapy, infrared saunas, whatever you do, you wouldn't necessarily do it all within the space of 24 hours, or would you?
I don't think so, Peter. I think what you really want to do, particularly if you're just trying out some new things in this space, is to try one thing at a time so you can tell what's happening in your body and what it's doing for you. I've done these things enough times to know which ones do tend to work for me. Like, for example, experimenting with immune IV and checking my white blood cell count before and after. But as long as you can get an idea of what works for you, usually sticking with one or two things is better. But, you know, I'm only in LA for around 24 hours, so we're going to try it all.
Let's talk about your journey, because I mentioned this is almost a lifetime mission of yours. I mean, maybe you didn't start as a kid, but I'm curious, what got you into this whole longevity thing?
This has been something that started for me as a curiosity around human health, probably when I was around 12 or 13 years old. A really interesting story that I have is I was actually homeschooled for 1 year by my mom for fifth grade, and I got to pick a subject, any subject I wanted. Could have been anything. I could have gone out in the garage and built things. I could have gone down and done art classes, whatever I wanted. And I chose a health class because I was so interested in understanding how I can interact with my own body to improve my health. And it was a really basic start, but it was my first indication this is something I'm passionate about.
Beginning to understand the science. Clearly, there's the passion and there's the understanding that health and good health over a long period of time is good. But digging into the science and being a self-experimenter, that can sound quite overwhelming, I think, to some people. How do you really set about to prove anything as a one-man band?
Oh, well, I think that the most important thing is to try to overcome that fear, that overwhelm, because biohacking is something that should really be accessible to everyone because it's a pretty simple philosophical concept. It's being able to look at your own biology and realize it's something you can measure and have a play with, test, experiment with. And you can do that in very basic ways. Anyway, from us talking about measuring our sleep with a sleep tracker, for example, if you have something like that, you're already measuring body data. You could run an experiment. You could try a different supplement. You could try blue light blockers before bed. You could try turning your social media off, your phone completely off 2 hours before bed and seeing how your sleep changes. It's actually immediately accessible for many different reasons. One of those being that we're all wearing these wearables now that give us information about our bodies, for example. So I think one of the things that I'm most passionate about is making biohacking, particularly longevity biohacking, accessible to everyone. It's actually a fairly simple thing to do, even though it might sound overwhelming.
And you're obviously in great shape. It's obviously working for you. You're a swimmer, you're a runner, you're a triathlete. Mm. When did all of that start and what sort of heights have you managed to reach with those sports?
Yeah, this is really, really a fun process for me because I've connected a lot with doing things like running and weightlifting since I was a teenager. And I've found that I had motivations mostly in that space of, you know, looking fit and maybe getting a girlfriend, you know, because I wanted to be a bit musclier. But as I've gone on in my life, I've connected that with longevity more directly. And there's a number I really, really like out there, Peter, and it's the increase in healthy lifespan that endurance athletes get. And it's around 5 to 6 years. 5 to 6 years for endurance athletes. That is a number you won't get from anything else in the longevity and health span space. And so once I learned about that and did a deep dive on exercise and really began to understand its connection with health span and human longevity, I dove with a new level of passion into the sport of running and swimming and then started adding some cycling and thought, you know what, I'm going to give a triathlon a try, and I've fallen in love with the sport.
That's really interesting. There's one aspect of my sort of biometrics right now, and that is my low resting heart rate, that I credit my days of endurance, triathlons, multiple marathons. I think it all stems from those days, and thankfully it hasn't left me.
It's actually really interesting you mention that because people who do endurance sports when they're younger, later in life, tend to continue on with the benefits of a strong heart, and those endurance sports are more accessible to them because you've already forced the bodily adaptations it takes to be an endurance athlete, and your body remembers that. Your body has a system of epigenetics, which is the layer on top of your DNA that tells your cells how to express themselves and how to operate and how to use that DNA. And research has shown that doing things like weight training, endurance sports, your body remembers that. And in particular, when you're younger, your body adapts more quickly to do those things. Now, for example, you can see teenagers or people in their young 20s taking up sports and accelerating with them really quickly. For somebody like me who started triathlon in his mid-30s, I've had to go a bit slower, not too much, a bit slower to get those same adaptations. But once you do that hard work, it does stay with you, even if you set that sport down. It's important to get that adaptation built in, and you're still benefiting from it.
Exactly. And what's, I think, really interesting is, let's say for most people, for ordinary people who maybe don't want to go to the extremes that you do and that I do to some extent, is that you can learn from all of these interventions, and you don't have to go to the nth degree to get a benefit. You can walk 30 minutes a day at a moderate pace and get a huge benefit in terms of your everyday health and your future health span.
You're not wrong about that, Peter. In fact, that's probably the most important message, is that these small changes, particularly ones that help us build healthy habits, are the most important. They're the easiest starting point. They're free and they get you the most benefit. You might get, just to use an illustration, you might get 70, 75% of the longevity benefit we're discussing just from a regular vigorous walking habit. Particularly if you get on some trails like we're on right now, get some hills in there, get your heart beating. You're working on your VO2 max, you're working in aerobic heart ranges, and you can get a lot of benefit just from something like that. But I'm one of those extremists that likes to go for the 99%, which is why I'm doing hard things like triathlon.
So we're on the trails now. We're in beautiful North Los Angeles. These are the sort of wilderness areas that I think a lot of people outside of the city probably don't appreciate that are here, so close to Hollywood, really just over there. We've got downtown Los Angeles, which has a very different feel, of course, a very different image. But we're going to leave the trails. We're going to head into West Hollywood and do that deep dive into the biohacking you're talking about.
Oh, we sure are, Peter. It's going to be a lot of fun because there's so many things to play with. And while they're not all something that might be accessible for everyone, there's good longevity principles under there, things we can apply at home that we'll talk about.
All right, let's go.
Let's do it.
Our next stop for that deep dive is Next Health, as Nick's biohacking journey continues after this.
Aging is an inevitable reality for all of us. And as we grow, our bodies need more care to stay fit and healthy. But is a good diet and plenty of exercise enough? We can supplement our bodies with nutritional add-ons to keep our energy up and make healthy aging a reality. But even if we have the best information about what's needed, can we trust the products we're sold? Vitality Pro has followed the latest in longevity science to produce a range of premium quality nutritional supplements focused on supporting better cellular health, sleep, and energy levels. They're made with the purest raw ingredients and tested by third-party labs. Their certificates are available to view so that you can have confidence in the supplements you take. Restore your cellular health. Visit vitality-pro.com. Free worldwide shipping is available.
This is the Live Long and Master Aging podcast. A reminder, you can watch this episode at our website, llamapodcasts.com, via YouTube. But let's continue with this audio preview as Nick Engra arrives at Next Health.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, good morning.
How's it going?
Yeah, I'm really excited to be back.
I'm so excited to have you in this space. All right, let's look at what we're doing today. So it looks like we've got you down for your VisiScan first. Then we're going to do your IV, hyperbaric chamber.
First up, having been here before, Nick wanted to check some stats, body fat, lean body mass, and other data using a body composition analyzer, the InBody device.
Bare feet, sending electric current through my body. Okay, stay still. Oh, I'm light right now. This is really interesting, actually, because I have almost 90 pounds of muscle mass and only 169 pounds, which is the lightest I've been in a number of years, probably from all my triathlon training. And we have, interestingly, the lean leg mass, which I'm really curious to compare to last time because I've been doing a lot more leg training, particularly strength training, riding the bike, running, since I was last here in 2019. There we go. What I love about this also is it breaks down your metrics by the different parts of your body. So you can actually kind of compare in detail how you measure left to right, which in my opinion, body symmetry is really important. We can see I'm actually really symmetrical. I've been working on that very deliberately, which is really interesting. And usually it'll give you a chart over time if you can keep doing these scans. And you can do things like, you know, add a new muscle building protocol, you might want to lean out, whatever you want. You can come back and do the scan repeatedly, maybe every few months, like every 3 to 6 months, and track your progress over time, which is also, I think, important to try to do it at the same time of day with a similar amount of food and hydration in your body. But that's me being very particular. Let's go see what we can do next.
What is very interesting about the skin assessment we can do at Next Health is that it's a Visia scanning unit. Now, these are actually available all over the world. You can look for a clinic nearby that does skin assessments. They might have a Visia, V-I-S-I-A. And what is really cool about this unit, it's built by Campbell Scientific. It's actually a scientific sensors company. They're really incredible technologists in terms of building things that can measure and bring in data. And what they've done is they built a unit that can scan your whole face at multiple wavelengths, including in the UV. And what this allows them to do is to see how much bacteria is on your face, how much UV damage is in your face, how much redness is in your face, even vasculature that's showing up at the surface from skin, from sun damage, and also see the wrinkles that are in your face as well. And it can give you a face age, which is another interesting way of looking at biological age. I call it the aesthetic age. That term's yet to catch on, but that's the one I like to use because it goes to the question of, Well, how old are you? Well, how old do I look? This is sort of quantifying that in a way.
Okay, amazing how it picks up all the spots on your face, which as you're aging in your skin are related to that. So look at this, my true skin age is 36, actual age of 36. That's an improvement on the last time I did a scan like this, which my true skin age was 45.
Oh. Wow.
It was 45. The first time I ever came to Next Health, it was 30. I was 33 at the time. 33 years old at the time. And it went up to 45, which I attribute to the fact that I've been training a lot outside. I've been doing a lot of endurance sports for triathlon. I'm outside a lot, getting a lot more sun in my face than I had been. Then I've been using this product called OneSkin, which is accelerates repair of UV damage in your face with a certain peptide. And just on the initial report, I have to look at this in more detail. It looks like it's been helping me.
Is this more about aesthetics than health, or are the two intermingled?
I think that the really interesting thing about aesthetics is that it gets a bit of a bad rap, right? We tend to think of things like movie stars getting plastic surgery and Botox and it only being for the rich. But, you know, increasingly you'll be very surprised who's getting Botox. This is something that's really hitting the mainstream. Botox injections, lip fillers, I think, unfortunately.
We're in Los Angeles.
I know.
It is going on all around us as we speak.
It's the same thing in the Gold Coast where I'm from. And it's an interesting intersection between what is, I think, a longevity technology and the masses. And clinics like Next Health are the place where these new things show up. And just like Botox was 10 years ago, we had things like IVs and hyperbaric oxygen, maybe even doing things with infrared saunas, all being a little bit expensive. But the more that these things become available to the larger number of people, the more the price comes down. Botox is a great example. So aesthetics, they're actually part of the longevity movement. They're bringing the price point down on things that can help us look younger and feel younger. I think people who might have a fairly judgmental perspective on these things should think about the psychological benefits they might get from feeling that they look younger. What does that actually do? If you think you look younger, do you feel younger? Does that mean you are younger? I think there's something more there than just simple vanity.
Looks pretty sweet in there. I'm looking forward to trying it out.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Next, the hyperbaric oxygen chamber. This compartment is filled with pressurized air, providing oxygen 3 times higher than present in normal air pressure. An intervention that could promote tissue repair and reduce inflammation.
I can hear it creaking a little bit as the pressure's climbing, pressure gauge is going up. Ears are probably going to start popping shortly. Yeah, there we go. I can start to feel that now. And as around the glass, you can see some really strong glass on the door with a nice seal around the outside, keeping that pressure building inside the chamber. Even the bolts around here have a bit of silicon sealant on them. I think we've even got an air conditioning unit. A lot of times when you increase the pressure, that actually means you increase the temperature as well, so things can get a bit warm inside hyperbaric oxygen chambers. Behind me, we've got oxygen purifiers, which are increasing the amount of oxygen in the air, which is really quite fascinating from my perspective that we can do two things. We can increase the amount of oxygen in the air, and we can increase the pressure of the atmosphere that we're experiencing. And this is what allows it to really travel through the body more and get the oxygen to get into parts of your body that it previously couldn't get to. And in particular, doing this type of treatment many times, on the order of 40 to 50 times, will actually change the epigenetic activation in our body to be able to use the oxygen in the depth of our capillary network that we wouldn't have before, which means that we get some really interesting metabolic results in terms of improved accelerated repair, particularly of skin tissue. Once you're inside the oxygen chamber, there's not too much to do. Just have to sit back and relax. I didn't even bring my phone in, nothing. I'm just going to lean back and do a little meditation because, well, you know, there's been lots happening. It's a quiet spot in the day. I'm going to go for that now.
Hyperbaric oxygen therapy has actually been around for decades. And hyperbaric oxygen as a concept actually came out of the long-term, hundreds of years ago's ways of actually diving underwater, where we'd have these big bells shaped units that could be put down the water and pump oxygen into them. And you'd actually have divers or people who are working on things underwater in these chambers. And they found some really interesting effects with these people. And in particular, the first thing that was really discovered with it is it's a way to repair the body after it's been exposed to the bends, which is the thing that happens when divers come up too quickly from underwater. But as we've developed that as a treatment, there's been many other applications for it that have come around, particularly in the last few decades. We've learned that it actually can accelerate healing in the body, particularly damage to the skin, like severe burns or wounds. And what this means is, in terms of hyperbaric oxygen as a term, is that we're actually increasing two things. One, the pressure of the actual air around us, and generally also increasing the oxygen content of the air. So we have more oxygen. What this does in your body is it actually allows the oxygen to get deeper into your tissues. And it's something that when you do it once, you might notice something maybe. And again, it could be placebo effect. But when you look at doing something as a protocol with hyperbaric oxygen therapy, this would be 30, 40, 50 sessions where we start to get the real benefits. And this can be very effective for treating diseases, but increasingly it's used in the health and longevity space because it's accelerating healing. It's on fundamental principles that if you're using a hyperbaric oxygen chamber regularly, you would have better ability to recover, to repair damage in your body and DNA, and also grow out the capillaries and the vascular network in your body and get oxygen deeper into places where your metabolism needs it to do things like remove wastes and have a healthy blood flow and blood supply.
So that's hyperbaric oxygen. Still popping my ears a little bit. Hey, you know, that one's one of the ones that's really hard to know what to expect afterwards. It's something that's a treatment that you accrue benefits over a long period of time. So I don't particularly find when I come out of hyperbaric oxygen, there's anything that I notice that I can say to you besides my ears popping, I feel better. You know, so I actually have one of these at home. It's a soft-sided unit. Doesn't get as to a high pressure as you have here. But as I've done my research on it, I've learned it's all about the regular use. If you want to get the therapeutic benefits.
Cumulative effect.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
You're looking pretty radiant on it.
Yeah, I'm feeling all right. Yeah. I'm not doing too bad for a jet lag guy.
Good.
I think next up we're doing an infrared sauna.
And we'll continue this conversation in just a moment.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
This is the Live Long and Master Aging podcast. You can also watch this episode via YouTube at our website, llamapodcast.com, and at nickengerer.org, which is home to Nick's longevity blog.
This guy's really interesting. So we've got the normal hotness going on, the sun on the inside, but we're opening up and we've got infrared lights. So you can see a bit of red in there for effect, but most of the light is in the infrared spectrum, which penetrates deeper into your tissues to get more of that light therapy going on with the heat and penetrate the heat deeper into your body. I can't wait to get in. Infrared sauna is a really interesting way to experiment with the other side of our biology. We talked a bit about cold exposure with cryotherapy. And the sauna end of things, we're moving up to exposing our body to heat, which brings out additional epigenetic or evolutionary adaptations that we have stored in our DNA. There's some interesting science around heat shock proteins and the way that these can have protective effects in the body. But what's very interesting about combining infrared light in a sauna is we're starting to get into the scheme of photobiomodulation, where we're interacting with certain wavelengths of light energy in the body. Infrared meaning you can't see it, we feel it as heat, while you can also add other things like LEDs, for example, or even increasingly lasers, although we won't have any lasers in our sauna at Next Health. In that experience, we'll have infrared light, which is actually going to be interacting with the cells in our body, even our mitochondria, to tell them to actually produce more energy. And additionally, increase the depth of that heat exposure in the body, because the infrared light actually
channels that energy deeper into the tissues in the body than you would get with just heat exposure on the skin alone.
How does it feel?
That's really interesting because I fit into this clamshell thing with just my head sticking out, and your body gets really warm very, very quickly. And it's incredibly relaxing because you're dilating all the capillaries in your body and your body's feeling that heat and it just wants to relax and you're laying down. You know, in a normal sauna, you're sitting up. I find it a little harder to relax. In this unit, I like how I get to lay down, close my eyes, and be in this chamber of infrared light pouring onto my body. It's very relaxing, and it feels, you get that same sort of invigorated, I've been exposed to the heat and sweat out a lot feeling that you do when you come out of a normal sauna as well.
Oh, that's so relaxing, dude. So relaxing. Wish I could stay in that thing for another hour. That's so good.
From the ultra-relaxed state induced by an infrared sauna to IV therapy, intravenous therapy. Next Health offers a range of what it calls wellness IV drips to rehydrate and help support immunity, as Nick discovered with the help of nurse practitioner and chief medical officer Megan Ratterth.
You know, many of us have been to the hospital. If we've had an IV drip before, it's a similar sort of concept.
Take a nice deep breath, poke on three, one, two, three, you're doing great, there you go.
So we can put a saline-based solution directly into the blood to rehydrate us.
Doing okay?
Yeah, doing great.
The basis of most IVs is something called a Myers cocktail, which has not only the saline solution, but also a basic level of vitamins in it, B vitamins, et cetera, that we can put directly into the bloodstream. What's interesting about where we've gone in the commercially available space for IVs is that you can now go into a clinic like Next Health and many other clinics around the world and sign up and say, hey, I'd like to get an IV and I'd like that IV to target a certain type of robustness in my body. It might be recovery. It might be something to help you boost your immunity, which is the one that I like to use when I travel, or it could be something that you could use to boost, for example, glutathione levels in your body, help you recover from a hangover, so to speak. There's an increasing number of options in this space. And then what's really interesting to me is that I've done the immune IV in an experimental way. One of the things about my personal biology is that my white blood cell count tends to be a little bit lower than the average person. It's probably genetic, it's just probably how I am. But what's interesting is that that can sometimes mean when I travel that my immune system is a bit more exposed to being unwell. And first couple times I've done this big trip to LA, about half the time I went back, I felt pretty unwell afterwards. Got a sick, some sort of virus, maybe a bit of a flu. And what I've realized now is I actually, when I come and I do the immune IV and I go off to a conference, I'm shaking hands, doing all those things, exposing me to various viruses or bacteria, I've actually not been getting sick. And I've even measured my white blood cell count after doing an immune IV and seen the levels of that go up by about 30%, which in a fairly controlled way could actually mean it is really boosting my immunity. So that's one of the reasons I choose to do that when I fly through Los Angeles.
In terms of when I think of longevity technologies, I think of things that are becoming accessible to the individual. There may be health practitioners that help you along the way, but increasingly it's patient choice. It's individual choice. Can you talk about how the role of a clinic like Next Health fits into that picture of making things available to people?
I think that's so important nowadays with the ease of people bringing out clinics similar to us. We have an extensive vetting process. We have a team of doctors, physicians, pharmacists on our research and development team. So it's not like we're just, you know, finding a treatment or identifying a treatment that's really cool. We spend on average 6 to 12 months vetting a treatment or a process. We have, dare I say, a group of test patients that we see, we utilize, we check their biomarkers. We understand what it is, how is this device or this treatment or this diagnostic test impacting the patient. And that's really the mainstay about what we do is, one, we always do everything with safety, the patient's safety in mind. And after that, you know, it's about testing or doing a trial period of a minimum of 6 months. So when we do these treatments and these technologies and these hacks, I guess, or you know, medical standards, is we are a medical facility. So we are required to uphold all of the standards from medical boards and all of the licensing agencies. But that's one of the big things is, you know, you can go and read something online and take, you know, very high doses of something and inject them into yourselves. But,
It's really, we're doing the hard work. We're doing the legwork. We're doing the scientific evidence and response and really trialing it in people before we launch it to the public so that you can know with absolute certainty the moment you walk in the door and you see something new on our menu or you see something new on our television that we've done the legwork. We've done, you know, the investment, the time, the resources into identifying what is the most safe and effective manner to bring this to the consumer.
Right. And so this process of vetting new technologies and then coming through to being available to people, this is a really important step, right? Because particularly in the space with longevity, there's more technologies available all the time. And then we need to be able to know which ones to choose. This is a really big thing that I've talked about before with Peter. I've talked about in the blog. It's one of the things I like to focus on is how do we then choose which of these technologies to engage with based on our own personal biology, our own personal risk.
And that's when we have practitioners that are not only just trained in identifying what's happening internally, but how do we make changes? How do we create a personalized wellness plan specifically for you? And that's the unique role of what we do is you get you come into Next Health, you get your blood work done, you get a 45-minute consultation to say, you know, these are the biomarkers that are off. I want to do, you know, more testing based on this abnormal finding. And so it's not a one-size-fits-all type of mentality or treatment plan because everyone is different. We know that sauna therapy, you know, hyperbaric oxygen, cryotherapy is going to benefit anyone who does it. But it's really about understanding, does your liver need more support? If it does, then I'm going to recommend you do more, you know, sauna therapy because your detoxification pathways may be compromised. And so detoxification is, you know, number one on our priority list. Cryotherapy is great, but if we had to choose and really kind of create a sense of urgency of what we need to kind of focus on for the next 3 months, I'm going to say it's going to be sauna therapy. And I really can't make those recommendations without blood work or at least proof to say, you know, people always come to me to say, what do I do? And it's like, you're going to tell me what to do. Your blood work is going to tell me exactly what it is that you need, exactly where the support and additional treatments are going to require support from both of us. You have to keep your power. You can't give your power away and third party it out to a healthcare provider, a health coach or a nutritionist or whoever it is that you work with. I'm really a huge proponent of a team, but it really comes back to that patient understanding you have full control of what your outcome is going to be. We're just here to help guide you. And that's really what, you know, I want to really empower people to say is you're the one that's going to make the daily choices of whether or not you even come in to start with the technology, to start with the blood work. And it's about figuring out, do you want to do this consistently? Because it's a huge time investment. It's a financial investment, but it's about getting the results. It's about, are you just disposed or predisposed to chronic disease? Do you have something happening internally? Great. If you don't, no problem. But it's like, how can we set you up so that not only are we going to help you live longer, we want you to feel vital all the years that you're alive. And it's really truly about understanding what it is your unique composition is requiring.
So what's it been just over, 24 hours since you arrived in Los Angeles?
That's about right.
Biohacking your way from Australia with all the interventions that you've experienced so far here. How do you feel?
I feel pretty great. I'm really honestly feeling very relaxed. I just did the infrared sauna. Really helped me feel just very zen, I would say, and relaxed in the body. I noticed immediate impact from the IV, particularly the glutathione at the end, really woke me up, made my body feel pretty energized. But nothing will quite compete with that like the cryotherapy, let me tell you.
Which is next,
which we're currently slowly walking toward, which is in this chamber here. And that's the one that really, really wakes you up here.
I would say cryotherapy can be used to describe anything that is using cold exposure to interact with biology. And in particular, this treatment is using a very cold room. It's around negative 200 degrees Fahrenheit, if I remember correctly, and circulating that cold air around you really, really aggressively. So you create a really big temperature gradient between your body, which is around 100 degrees Fahrenheit, and the air around you, and circulating that air very quickly. Now you've got to have some gloves on and a mask on to keep your extremities from getting frostbitten because it's such an aggressive temperature change. But what that's doing is it's really effectively pulling the heat energy out of your body. I go in there, I put my arms up so that the heat really leaks out from under the arms, the core body temperature drops a little bit. And if you've done it right, you'll come out with a little bit of a shiver. You'll come out with your body having experienced it being quite cold. So back home in Byron Bay, I don't have a chamber like the one they have here at Next Health in Los Angeles, but I do have cold plunge where I can go into about 4 or 5 degrees centigrade ice water and sit there for around 5 minutes. Same sort of dose come out, a little bit of a shiver going on. It's a very invigorating feeling, particularly when you're coming out of a jet lag scenario. It really helps to wake you up. But beyond that, there's some evidence that shows us things like cold therapy can reduce inflammation in the body. They might help accelerate healing of injuries. There's a lot of claims that go to specific types of cryotherapy that aren't really backed up by the science yet. But the general thinking is that doing things like putting an ice compress on an injury site reduces inflammation and accelerates healing. It's the same sort of principle that we're working with. There's also some really good evidence around boosting immune function. And I think that probably relates back to parts of our evolutionary signaling in our DNA. When we get told that it's cold by the environment, our body boosts our immunity because we're in situations where we're more likely to transmit disease. So there's some interesting space around immunity as well.
But there's still a lot of science to be understood relating to cryotherapy. There is the possibility that some of it is in your mind and that because you're doing this procedure, you are going to feel better. Therefore, you do feel better. And that happens in many different aspects of life. If you're an optimistic person about longevity, the chances are that you may well live longer.
You're talking about placebo effect, right? And the placebo effect is a beautiful thing because what it tells us is that our mind is the most powerful thing we have to influence our health span, one way or the other. And so I think that the way I would respond to that is yes, placebo effect could totally be in play. This is why it's important to create self-experiments where we can control and get a before and after. It's a little bit hard to do that with what we're doing here while I'm in LA because we're trying so many different things. But in a situation where you could use cryotherapy regularly, you might be able to perhaps measure inflammation in your body changing or notice that a certain injury site or level of fatigue you'd get from exercising might change for you. Run your own self-experiment and get away from that placebo effect a little bit.
Let's try to relate what you do and what I do to a large extent to real life, to ordinary people who may not be able to A, afford so many interventions, or B, even have the inclination to do this kind of thing. How can we translate the science behind longevity to everyday life? And everyday life is tough for a lot of people.
It is, you're
but,
right.
But that pursuit of health and health span is universal.
It is, and in the impacts when that's taken away from you are also universal in terms of just establishing its importance. If you're not well, you don't really care about anything other than getting well again. So yeah, I think to peel it back all the layers of the beautiful Los Angeles clinic that we're in and think about how this is practical at home, there's a couple things that jump out to me. I mean, one, anybody can do a cryotherapy if they have a bathtub and some ice bags, if they've got a local watering hole that gets cold in the winter. Anywhere you can expose yourself to cold temperatures enough, again, I think the marker is getting a bit of a shiver going, feeling that reaction in your body to the cold. We can do similar things with saunas. I mean, I was in a nice sauna bed with Jane Stones under me and infrared light. That's not necessarily what you have to do to get the benefits of a sauna. You know, many people are members with a gym that have a sauna. When I was growing up, the local YMCA had a sauna. I just thought it was funny to go in from time to time. I didn't realize the benefits were there. So I think reaching out to resources you have around you is one practical way to get some of the benefits we're having here. But in our conversation with Megan earlier, one thing that was really important was the idea that you need to get some measurements. And while I gave some blood today and blood data is one type of measurements, there's many sources of those. I've mentioned wearables before as one, as well as the body metrics of just of yourself. What is your body mass index? How much skeletal muscle versus fat do you think you have in your body? Can you measure that and track it over time? And even things as, you know, seemingly as banal as like tracking your bowel movements or measuring your blood pressure. Just these things you're doing every day to observe what your body is doing can teach you a lot in your own process. But you have to have ways to measure to know what to do. And you have to use those measurements to establish where you need to improve and then start adding on those improvements that will help you with the parts that are most important for your individual biology and track it over time.
And what I often come back to is the fact that this is science, and this is science in progress. And science evolves and science changes, and perhaps we find something that, let's say, you can categorically agree that it becomes a proven fact in terms of its beneficial effects. And that's the point that
ultimately more people can benefit and hopefully the cost will come down.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about coming to a clinic like this is you see the most cutting edge things start to show up. And it might feel like that's not accessible to everybody, but this clinic is making things more accessible by existing, by having people vote with their dollar and show up and creating competition with other clinics like it and bringing those technologies to prices that are more affordable over time. That's the same thing with any technology. We're just on a different part of the cost curve for most longevity technologies than many people can afford. But increasingly, these things are coming into the home. You know, I just mentioned taking your blood pressure. That's a really great example. You know, blood pressure used to be something you could only get at the doctor's office. They had to have a stethoscope on your arm and do it all manually with a cuff that they pump up by hand. You can buy a unit for $30-$40 on Amazon that'll do that for you now. I mean, there's evidence of this in many places, and it's simply learning to prioritize where you can put your investment.
Well, biohacking is creeping into everyday life without some people realizing it. And some of us are wearing these devices, these smart watches that can do a lot of this investigative work that 10 years ago you would have had to have gone to a facility like this to experience.
Yeah, I mean, the most, I think, cutting edge, widespread example in the smartwatch space is the ability to do an EKG on an Apple Watch. The fact that you can sit down at rest, turn on a program, and it can watch the electrical signals of your heart from your wrist is another major advancement. And that's in a watch that many people are wearing and is arguably at an affordable price point for many people. So biohacking is becoming mainstream in that sense.
So what, Nick, is next for you? You've got your longevity blog, and you go into a tremendous amount of detail in that blog. We've only managed in this video to, I would say, scrape the surface in terms of the complexity, the data analysis, the kind that you do, one-man experiments. And I know you have this philosophy that you don't do anything unless you yourself have seen the data to back up the benefits.
That's correct, and it's something that I try to set out as an example to others, which is this concept of running a self-experiment. How do we try something, measure before and after, and determine whether or not it is worth the continued investment? I mean, if you look at, for example, taking something like a supplement for boosting your NAD levels, it's becoming very common in the biohacking longevity space at the moment, but you don't know whether or not it actually is boosting your NAD levels. You don't know if you're spending that money wisely. So if there's actually technology now, I work with the company Do Not Age, and we have a kit you can test your blood NAD. And I've done this several times now and tested different NAD boosting supplements to figure out which one worked for me. I'm not even going to mention that right now because I don't want people to just go do what I do. But it's that process of testing and learning so that you target your investment intelligently. That's the philosophy I bring to the longevity blog and try to help other people do. And I would say moving forward, what I'm always looking for are new technologies that people might not be aware of yet that we can run self-experiments with, and particularly things that focus at longevity concepts that we really care about. So I'm just wrapping up one, doing a new facial product. The data from the Vizia scan today has shed some insight on that. It appears that it's working, for example. There's another unit I'm looking at shortly where we use photobiomodulation, turning on mitochondria in your joints, the knee, the elbow, the shoulder, to accelerate healing and rebuilding of cartilage. These things are all becoming things you can do in your home. Which ones are right for you? Which ones might work? That's right where I like to situate myself.
You mentioned Do Not Age. The longevity economy is a huge issue. We at the Llama Podcast also work with Do Not Age. And I think that is part of the bigger story of what we are doing, that there is this explosion in interest. It's not just the science, but there's a more across-the-board explosion in interest, which is reflected in the number of companies and organizations and yes, blogs and podcasts, video podcasts, audio podcasts like this, telling the same story. And I think that's kind of symptomatic of the interest that there is here and the potential of what you and I try to talk about.
It's very great, this accumulation of knowledge that's available on the internet and through people experimenting and sharing, but also the bigger movement in terms of where it's going. What it is saying is that, yes, people will vote with their dollar to extend their health span, to contribute to their health span. And that means that there's an economy for it, and it's a growing economy. And that means more and more things are becoming available, which again brings us back to figuring out what works for you, which is why I think that's so important. But it is worth getting excited about. Peter, I know you do as well, and it's why we get to come to places like this, play around with things, and see what it could mean for the everyday person, what they can take away from that.
And a final thought, why is it worth getting excited about health span, this phrase that we both use a lot, optimizing the number of years that we maintain maximum health, physical health, mental health, enjoy life? It might seem obvious, but why is that a virtuous goal?
There's two facts I like to remind people of. One is checking with yourself. Do you want to be alive tomorrow? The answer is probably not going to change ever. It's always nice to be able to have something to look forward to. Humans thrive on that. And in general, if you have your health, you're going to want to stick around. That's point number one. And point number two is that where we're adding those years of health span, science, psychological science, confidently and resoundingly tells us these are some of the happiest years of your life. When you're talking about the difference between being healthy at 75 to 80 to 85, this is people having grandchildren, great-grandchildren, they're often retired, they're just doing the things that they love, they're with a great group of friends, they have good connections with their family that they've built up over many years, and this is the richest part of your life that we're talking about adding years onto. And the third point, I did say two, but I'll add one thing to that at the very end. The longer you stick around, the more of this type of technology there is to keep you healthy and keep you living even longer. So there's a bit of a feedback cycle possible in there, which could mean that what we're talking about now, expanding health span by 5 years, if you start doing that now, it might be 15, 20 years in the future that you're actually gaining by working on this and thinking about it and caring about it now.
My thanks to Nick and to Next Health. If you'd like to find out more about what they do, there are full details in the show notes for this episode, along with video of Nick's visit to their West Hollywood location. The Llama Podcast is a HealthSpan Media production. In social media, we're at Llama Podcast, and you can contact me via direct message at Peter Bowes. I hope you're able to check out the video and let us know what you think about the rapidly evolving world of health and longevity interventions. Thanks so much for listening. FlexBeam is a portable red light therapy device that's now being used by leading athletes, including the Norwegian tennis player Casper Ruud.
Whenever you put the FlexBeam on, you feel it starts to work right away. I need something that can help repair all the fibers that I have broken in the serves.
The infrared lights penetrate your skin and makes the muscle tissue recover faster. FlexBeam, I keep it with me all the time.
Recharge Health is offering Llama Podcast listeners an $80 discount on the purchase of a FlexBeam device. Go to the website recharge.health and use the code LLAMA at checkout. That's LLAMA. You'll also find the link in the show notes for this episode.